Our guest is Steve Bryce, CIO at Standard Chartered Wealth Management. Steve, in looking at the Fed statement and the difference between the essential message there and the Powell commentary afterwards, I want to tap into the zeitgeist a little bit and go back to the show to tell the truth. Will the real Federal Reserve please stand up? Which one is it?
Yeah, it's difficult, right? They clearly want to be very, very focused on fighting inflation messaging. So they don't want people to move too far ahead of themselves and say that we're anywhere close to winning the battle against inflation. But they also know that the current path that they're on, I would actually argue that they're already past that, but they're heading towards recession, right? So we're already on that path. We've obviously seen a record inversion of the twos, tens part of the curve. And we see now, more importantly to us, it's actually an inversion of the 3 months versus 10-year. We're slightly positive at the moment, but it has been inverted already. So they're obviously, you know, trying to get this balance between inflation still being way too high for their objectives, but also the fact that they're heading towards recession. So they're trying to buy some time. I'm not sure it's going to work, but that's what they're trying to do.
Do you think the market gets it? Because we keep seeing rallies and then reversals. There seems to be a lot of hope of Fed pivots, and then they get shoved further out into the future. So to what degree is the market reflecting future Fed tightening?
Well, I think that the market's is struggling like the Fed's struggling, to be honest. I mean, obviously, the Fed's going to be data dependent, right? That's always the case. Obviously, they're trying to make sure that people don't think they're backing off too early, especially after having hiked too slowly to start with. Markets are trying to go, okay, what should the Fed do, and what is the Fed going to do? And what it should do is actually quite difficult. So it's relying on what it's saying at the moment, and I think so it's going to be really difficult, I think, to figure out when they're going to pivot, what pivot means, but probably at some point next year we're going to be talking about rate cuts rather than rate hikes. When that happens is going to be obviously key.
So I'm curious about your investing strategy. I note that you have some defensive themes, and you're looking at least another 3 months of dollar strength, right?
Yeah, and obviously, it must admit, before the FOMC, that was coming under a bit of pressure, that short-term bullish tilt. But obviously, the events of not just in the US, but also in the UK and Europe overnight has put significant upward pressure on the dollar again. We still think the Fed is obviously going to be in tightening mode, whether they do 50 or 75 basis points at the next meeting. It remains to be seen, but you can see the Bank of England already trying to back off the pace of rate hikes. And Europe actually was quite hawkish, but it didn't really matter to markets overnight. So that's going to put upward pressure on the dollar in a relatively defensive environment. That's our view in the short term.
And Steve, we were talking a moment ago about ongoing US dollar strength, and I know you've got a larger than usual cash position right now. What's the logic behind that? Keeping some dry powder, or with rates the way they are, can you get a reasonable return on cash right now?
I guess it's a bit of both. It's probably more the former, to be honest. We do feel that there's, from an equity market perspective in particular, there's probably another leg down still to come before we form a proper base. And that's, we've seen equity markets obviously discount a mild recession in terms of the performance we've seen so far. But we've got a lot of policy tightening still in the pipes, waiting to hit the economy. So, we think the Fed's pretty much focused on lagging indicator in terms of employment numbers. Starting to see anecdotal evidence that employment hiring is weakening, but, they're probably going to over-tighten, and that could lead to quite a, what will look like initially at least, quite a sharp recession. And we don't think that's discounted. So, from that perspective, we think equities could take a leg lower, and therefore having an overweight cash position will give you some dry powder to buy into that in a few months' time.
There are two major overhangs right now. And one is the Fed, obviously, and central banks generally with higher interest rates. The other is the COVID zero strategy in China. And so I want to say that if we get some easing at some point in the next 6 months on the central banks, that the dollar is probably going to give back a lot of ground. And that's going to drive up a lot of Asian currencies. So I want to challenge you on one of your calls and bonds. You like developed market investment grade, but then you say Asia U.S. dollar bonds. Won't local currency bonds really benefit once the dollar starts going down and those currencies start going up?
We think they will. I mean, obviously, you know, the dollar's been incredibly strong for the past 2 years, and we're all sort of saying, okay, it's close to multi-decade high. So I totally agree, when the dollar turns, it will turn in a big way. I guess the question is, you know, when do you actually sort of start putting that on? So if you've got a 12-month view, 18-month view, you might say, I can put it on now, but the dollar's still strong, so you might get a better entry point. But I agree with your thesis.
Strong dollar. Flip side of that at the moment is a very weak yen, and a number of our guests quite like Japan at the moment. That's part of the reason. Also, some good companies there offering reasonable bargains. Is this a market you're looking at?
It's not actually a preferred market at the moment. I think the good thing about the Japanese market is quite defensive. It is obviously reasonably cheap as well. You do obviously have the policy uncertainty. They've got yield curve control in place at the moment, but you know, there's a lot of question about how long they'll be able to maintain that. So from a regional perspective within equities, we actually prefer the ones that are really, really depressed sentiment-wise and also valuation-wise. And so from our perspective, we've got the UK. Obviously, the UK is in a very difficult economic situation, but it's fully priced in our opinion. And then you've got Asia ex Japan. I guess, you know, the tailwinds of a weaker dollar would help there. But, you know, we're seeing peak pessimism in both the UK and Asia, we think, and that's something that should be supportive for investors over the next 12 months or so.
Can we find companies that are somewhat recession-proof, that have pricing power, and are trading at a mid-teens multiple? Is it possible?
It's getting, obviously, you know, after the sell-off we've seen so far, it's getting easier you know, around the world. I mean, even in the U.S., right? So, obviously, valuations in the U.S. were very expensive at the end of last year. We've seen them come off quite sharply, and that's what's driven the returns. Of course, earnings have continued to go higher. So they do exist. You know, obviously the consumer staples area is something that we would normally look at in a recessionary environment, healthcare as well. But from a global perspective, we're actually still overweight energy. So yes, a recession would hurt them, but they're still extraordinarily cheap and giving decent dividend yields. So from that perspective, energy is a sector that we like.
All right, Steve Bryce, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Steve Bryce is CIO at Standard Chartered Wealth Management.